You're listening to NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. Efforts to preserve historic buildings in low-income and inner-city neighborhoods throughout the state face many challenges, like the lack of access to financing and restoration projects taking a backseat to more pressing issues in the community. That's the subject of this week's Illinois Issues In-Depth Report. John Owens has the story.
It's September 2015, and the historic Central Park Theater on Chicago's West Side has opened its doors after being shuttered for the past few years. The occasion? A memorial service for Reverend Lincoln Scott. Over 40 years ago, Scott rescued the old movie palace, built by the legendary movie palace architects Rapp and Rapp in 1917. It was one of the first theaters in the world with air conditioning, and a model for other more ambitious movie palaces, like the Chicago Theater in Chicago and the Paramount Theater in New York City. Scott rescued it from the Wreckers Ball in the 70s and turned it into a home for his House of Prayer, Church of God in Christ. But the city forced Scott to close the building in 2013 due to over 100 building code violations. When Scott died last fall, church board members realized he borrowed over $300,000 to repair the building, something the church could never repay.
Church pastor Robert Marshall says he'd like to find a way to keep the building open for the community, but he can't see a solution.
It's a landmark building, and we think it should have the landmark status. It's just that right now our back is against the wall. We lack funding.
Now the church's bank is prepared to foreclose on the property, which is facing an uncertain future. That's the problem that owners and caretakers of endangered historic structures in low-income and inner-city neighborhoods throughout the state of Illinois face. On the one hand, these historic buildings still exist, but they exist in low-income communities where funding to restore these buildings is often non-existent, and the interest in rehabilitating these structures take a backseat to other more pressing issues. Landmarks Illinois, the advocacy group for historic preservation of buildings, says there are dozens of endangered historic structures in low-income areas throughout the state. Landmarks Illinois Director of Advocacy, Lisa DiCiera.
So these neighborhoods can't necessarily afford another vacant lot. These buildings can continue to be important anchors to their neighborhoods and maybe even help spawn other kinds of revitalization efforts.
Some of the more notable buildings include the Citizen Savings and Loan Building in East Alton, Illinois, the Lincoln Colored Home in Springfield, and the New Regal Theater on the south side of Chicago. DiCiera says there are incentives that can help owners of endangered buildings, most notably the Illinois Historic Preservation Tax Credit Program. The program, enacted in 2012, provides a state income tax credit to up to 25% of a project's qualified expenditures for historic renovations or rehabilitations. But it's limited to five cities, all along rivers in the state: Aurora, Elgin, Rockford, East St. Louis, and Peoria. The program is also set to expire in December 2016.
You know, this is a really important extra layer of financing. It was only given a window of 5 years, and now we're at the end of the 5 years. But, you know, unfortunately, some of these communities were not ready to have projects really get picked up after the financial crash until 3-4 years into this program.
There are success stories involving these inner city treasures. Chicago artist and urban planner Theaster Gates redeveloped the Stony Island Trust and Savings Bank in Chicago, not far from the New Regal Theater. This ornate bank had been shuttered since the 1980s, but Gates bought it from the city for a dollar and turned it into a library and cultural center, housing the archives of Ebony magazine publisher John Johnson and house music pioneer Frankie Knuckles. Meg Kindlin, an architect who specializes in historic preservation, says rethinking the purpose of older buildings is helpful in the rehabilitation process.
I think that sometimes old buildings, you know, anywhere, have kind of a tough sell, because they have to kind of present themselves in such a way that says, you know, I'm not just this old building that was relevant only in the past. I think that, you know, the reuse has to be pretty energized and get a good program in there that's going to speak to, you know, the modern moment and make people want to invest in it or make the community rally around it.
In Springfield, the Enos Park neighborhood, consisting of Victorian and Queen Anne-style homes dating back to the mid-19th century, saw its housing fall into disrepair in the 1960s and 70s. But a neighborhood association called the Enos Park Neighborhood Improvement Association got together in the late 80s and utilized tax increment financing to rehab the houses.
Michelle Higginbotham is president of that group.
5 or 6 years now, we've been acquiring distressed properties. Some we rehab ourselves. Sometimes we pass them on to other people to rehab.
Community buy-in is also key for the rehabilitation of these buildings.
You know, the biggest thing that I see is a lot of times people sit back and talk about what they want to see happen, but they're waiting on somebody else, usually a municipality or state government or something along those lines, to do it for them. And at the end of the day, I think people really have to take responsibility for their own neighborhoods and their own areas. And if there's something that you want to see happen, then you need to go out and make it happen.
That was John Owens reporting for Illinois Issues. You can read his in-depth story at our website, nprillinois.org.